Welcome to On the Brink, a fresh lens to take you and your business to new heights. Hi, I'm Andy Simon. I'm your podcast host. And as you know, my job is to help you see, feel, and think in new ways. I go looking for interesting people who are going to help me do that. Today is a day when we're all on the brink. We don't know if we're going to soar or fall, but the ladder is there for us to climb. But sometimes we need new ideas. We need to fill our head. Remember, the more ideas you have, the more likely you will have big ones, and they come at the intersections. So as you listen to our podcast, things are going to come your way, and you're going to say, that's a big idea. It's actually sitting in your head waiting for it to happen, but I'm happy to share. So I have a wonderful woman here today to help you do just that. She's going to help you see yourself through a fresh lens, feel differently about what you're doing and why, and think about how to make some changes, because change is painful and we don't always like it. Fran Biederman-Gross is our guest today. A little bit about Fran. She is here smiling at you, and she is going to smile through our whole time together because she is just a very happy, wonderful woman with lots to share with you. Fran Biederman-Gross is the founder and CEO of Advantages, an award-winning branding and marketing agency. Among the Fortune 500 best places for entrepreneurs, I'm going to let her tell you exactly what that is. The Advantages team leads clients on a journey of brand discovery that reveals personal and organizational purpose, values, and story. And Fran is just full of ideas for us today. She also is a podcast host for Drive Profit with Purpose, where she speaks with business leaders about the importance of purpose. And you know, purpose-driven organizations are doing better than those without a purpose. And she's co-author of How to Lead a Value-Based Professional Services Organization, which I have a hunch is hers and could be yours. So this is on a book focused on the leverage of three keys of purpose, values, and story so that you can grow and scale profitably and make a difference. Fran, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me today. What a meaningful intro. What a great way to set up somebody's mindset in how they should receive every single episode. So I'm very grateful to be here. Thank you.
Well, and we are as well, because your ideas are fresh. And I haven't had anyone who's a marketing maven in a long time. And there's a push now to rethink what we do in the world of communication, storytelling, marketing, whatever those words now mean in a world where it's not a newspaper ad or even, you know, what do you do with a press release? It's really sort of like, what are we doing? But tell the listener about who is Fran. Let's really set the stage around your own journey, because it sets the context for what you're doing and how you're helping your clients and your staff. Please, Fran.
So what can I tell you that's interesting about Fran? I'm a very curious, purposeful, intentional, resourceful human who really loves people. And I say that because it's true. While I can be labeled an eternal optimist, just ask my team, always looking for the good in everything, innately, I really appreciate when others are in that spotlight moment and they're shining, or they set a goal and they accomplish it. I'm really there with them, enjoying not only the journey, but reveling in the success of whatever that is. And while that might seem broad, I've definitely chosen my path in helping others really stand out and understand how they build emotional connections with the people who give them the most fulfillment. So getting clear on what I call the three keys, your purpose, your values, and your story, and the way that you tell it. And there's just so much that's so complicated when we talk about branding and marketing, that I just wanted to make it simple, but not easy, right? So it's simple to understand the concept of like a minimum viable brand is very much based on what you believe in, why you exist in the world, and how you bring that to the organization you lead. And if we could just get clear on that, it's simple, just not easy to articulate. it sets such a strong foundation for everything that you're going to do. So in terms of me, I'm just on this journey to help as many people as I can, which is really why the book came about. And, you know, I have a limited finite amount of time and hours that I could workshop, teach, or speak, or work with clients. So the book and the podcast are an extension of me having those great conversations so that people can further think about what their purpose, values, and story, what their three keys are, and how to have tips and tricks to apply it to unravel this mystery of marketing and what is branding and why is it important and all of those complicated questions. So
I have a question. You didn't just jump in and know those things. Were there some catalytic moments that took what you were doing and gave it I believe in aha moments.
Yeah.
Well, often you go, whoosh, and you go, ah, that's what it's about. Is there something you might be able to share?
I think there's a couple of, you know, aha light bulb moments, if you will. I think the first time I met Simon Sinek back in 2004, when he had just discovered the Golden Circle, maybe it was 2003, and he had spoken to the Entrepreneurs Organization. We were at like a little marketing gathering talking to this, you know, strategist colleague, if you will. And I was really intrigued. And they had asked us to bring like some of our best design work. And I did. And I got there early and I placed it on the corner of the table. I was hoping I would myself stand out and get his attention. So, you know, everybody always likes to be called out by the teacher and given some accolades, I mean, validation. Who would ever not want that? And I placed this incredibly very proud designed piece of collateral on the corner of the table. And wouldn't you know, it caught his eye. And he lifted it up in the middle of his chat and he said, "This is beautifully designed and it's great quality. And it looks like everybody else and it sounds like everybody else." And I'm like, I'm like sunk into my chair. I was like, how do I leave? I'm like, he just embarrassed me in front of about 80 to 100 people. I'm like the marketing, you know, maven in there. I'm like the printing princess, the girl who gets everybody noticed. And it, my stuff is like everybody else. Like, does he know me? So like at first I was embarrassed and sunk in my chair. I literally sunk in my chair and I wanted to leave, but I resisted that urge. Desperately took every ounce of fight in me to do that. But I waited online to kind of really unpack what he meant because I really needed to get over myself and try to learn from something. And then he just set me off on a path of, this is beautifully designed, but how does it speak to me? And how does it create a connection versus, you know, what you're selling and what you're advertising on this piece? And how do I actually use it as a tool to build, to create, to activate curiosity or to spark a connection in that way? And that set off a very deep relationship for a very, very long time. Although I dug my heels in and, you know, didn't want to join or do, I worked with Start With Why for a very long time behind the scenes in a lot of the development stuff, but I really wanted to bring to further develop the concept of understanding how we start with why. Hence, we got the three keys, which became the really the technique and the approach that we approach every person, whether you're a solopreneur, you know, to do personal branding and take that into an organization. And how do I work in an M&A structure? And how do I bring people together? And how do I help serial entrepreneurs own multiple businesses because they really have one vision and multiple missions? And how does that stack? How do they shift their story point, as I would describe it, to serve them, whether they're in front of, you know, a VC raising money or fundraising in a nonprofit or looking for more customers to get into, you know, into the funnel, right? High, mid, low, further down the funnel. And it has really become evident that I'm going to say and many may not disagree, and I hope they don't disagree. And I'm happy to welcome the conversations if they do. But people innately develop relationships with people they like, they trust, and have a connection with somewhere, and they feel it. And that's a biological thing, mm-hmm. And how do we resolve that? And that has really been, that's my quest, right? To resolve how your brain thinks but can't speak, mm-hmm. and help you give it the words so it validates the feeling. And to me, that's marketing and branding all in one. And that's the job we have to do, so that we build relationships with, if we're a nonprofit, with our donors, with our volunteers, with the people we serve, from professional services or products and goods, right? So the level of the cost of the sale might influence if it's a big, bigger ticket, we have to think more. If it's a smaller ticket, we think less. But we build relationships with brands who stand for something that somehow are relatable to us. And even if we don't stop to think about it, when you do, you'll realize that you're developing, or you're a fan, a brand fan, as I would say, or an advocate for certain brands, because of not only the product, but why they exist in the world too. Sometimes it's a little hard to find that connection.
It is interesting, as I work with organizations. So we're corporate anthropologists, as I often share a little bit during our podcast, and we specialize in helping organizations change. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they want to, and sometimes I hate to, because the brain hates to change. It has an idea and a story in it. And that story is your illusion of everyday life. And you get up every day and you live that story, whether it's true or not. There's no truth. What's interesting, what you're saying, is that you then also surround yourself with things. And those things are a reflection of that illusionary story about who you are. You're always the hero in your story. You're always successful in the story. The problem is always others outside of you. And whether it's you alone or you as part of a club or a group, humans are herd animals and we like to belong. So with humans, you've got this wonderful opportunity to help them feel better, make their story stronger in times that are fast changing. Like, I don't know how many people have said, I'll never use AI. I said, well, it's already all over you. You can't do anything without it, quite frankly. I'll never use ChatGPT. I love ChatGPT. But why do you deny the future? Because it is all around you. It's just not widely distributed yet. And that's asking people like Fran to help us rethink the work we're doing with our products and services. And I'm going to let her talk a little bit about how do you now help companies and their products, services to rethink their purpose, maybe to retain their values, and also to begin to think about that story and storytelling when the world that they're talking to has so fragmented. There are 250 million people with 250 million stories and channels to articulate it on. And I don't know whether TikTok is good or not, but as my book came out, somebody I knew said, are you going to be on TikTok? And I went, she said, there are as many people creating on TikTok as there are watching it. The world is wild. Fran, how do you help them go through the changes? Maybe there's a case study you can share, or if not, just help the audience think through the new, because it's ready, willing, and able to help you transform what you're doing for a new world. Your thoughts?
So that is a jam-packed question.
Deliberately.
I know, and a good one. Mm-hmm. The place that I'm going to begin to shape that answer is that in 2024, what you knew before doesn't really apply. But here's a lesson that I can say. First, let me explain what I mean. Buyers are informed. Mm-hmm. They have access to information in record speed and record time that we cannot argue, arguably the fastest, and will continue to get faster as we choose how we consume our media or our ads or our information. So I'm just going to use information for now, because there's a lot of things that we want to know on a daily basis, starting with the weather to the top news and status here and on what's going on with our clients. And we want bites of information.
Yep.
So the buyers are informed. They have access to data and facts with a click of an enter button. You know, you ask a question and you will get an answer. It might not be accurate, but we won't debate that. But they have access to information. So you can't, there's no more dog and pony show. The dog and pony show is, here I am. I can't beat my chest and going, I'm louder, I'm better, stand out. It has to be authentically who you are and why you exist. Mm-hmm. Why? Because in the last 15 years, and I've had the honor in working and taking over my co-author's lifelong work of, you know, truly the PhD that we had started working on together, I have literally proven that there is an alternate KPI, that people are the complete reason why businesses who merge succeed. Mm-hmm. I digress. Back to the question. Informed buyers need a reason to believe.
Mm-hmm.
They need to make when they have that reason to believe, they then must make the emotional connection to why it matters to them. This is a fundamental change in the way that we communicate and are raising our children to communicate. It has to be meaningful. We used to talk about buying stuff, and I'll use this as like a little bit of a team and family,
mm-hmm.
you know, share. We used to buy things for each other, and now we've learned, you know, come the holidays and birthdays and celebratory days, it's not the stuff, it's the time and experience. They want to share things. They want to create memories, to do things. Matter of fact, just before this, you were talking about this 2 weeks, right? That you and your family sacredly at the end of June get together. It, you know, and that it's time.
Yes.
People crave emotional connection. It is no different with family. That is, believe it or not, no different with services and products.
That's right.
And they are demanding it. They are voting with their dollars and demanding it. So who's telling a better story? But it's not really that. It's not the better story. It's the meaningful story.
Mm-hmm.
How you uncover why you do what you do, why the world is a better place with your organization in it, is vital to communicate, to be able to attract the buyer. The way the buyers buy, they demand to make the emotional connection. Even if they don't say it, they vote with their dollars. And if you really got into a focus group with them, and trust me, we have done many, many of these, especially in the last couple of years, you really get the insights of the culmination of data that I'm telling you. We can't, and people are buying emotionally. They are emotionally triggered. And the brands who are acting out and taking a stand, you've seen them. You have seen these examples. You've seen it with Nike. You have seen it with Ben and Jerry's with their ice cream. And you have seen these organizations take a stand, and you've seen good PR and bad PR, and you've seen outrage, and you've seen validation.
Yep.
Because there's something for everyone. There's just something for everyone. So how do you, audience member, how, or listener, how do you differentiate yourself in that way? Simple, not easy. But here's the one thing that I can tell you. You can't skip. You can't skip. You can't skip a step, because when you skip a step, it doesn't work. We have learned time and time again with client after client, when we rush through building a foundational brand, right? I'll just leave it as when we skip the foundational steps, we miss something.
Mm-hmm.
We miss the opportunity to connect with the buyer. We miss the opportunity to understand the buyer. We miss the opportunity to understand where the buyer is, what the buyer is searching for. So we talk about marketing and attracting these things, but at the same time, let's put that all aside. Mm-hmm. We need to understand who you are, and what they want. What matters to them? If you build your journey and you skip a step and you're missing information, it is just another reason for them to leave the funnel, to not go, to go further. You know, I personally would rather attract, like, let's just say I was looking for an applicant. I had a new job position. I personally would much prefer, matter of fact, this was another aha moment. It's funny that my mind went here. I was at a networking event and it was all about recruitment and retention, right? This was a big hot button. How do we do that? Well, they opened this roundtable discussion and they're like, oh, well, our advertisement attracted 85 qualified people, but we got like 300 resumes. And when it got to my turn, I said, who has time to look at 85 resumes? I'm hoping that only 12 people apply so that I can get further deeper down into, are you a good fit? Mm-hmm. Are you in the right place in your life, career journey to be in this company, in this position, in this culture? Will you affect positive change? And that, like, it spun the conversation in a completely different way. Wait a minute. How do you just get 12 applicants? And then I went through the, hey, it's dating. You know, I'm not trying to sell you who we are. I'm actually trying to figure out who you are. Mm-hmm. And are you at the right stage with the right skill and the balance, you know, to fit this nucleus of an agency, of a family that we are? And are you the right fit? We can always train for skill, but at the same time, they need certain levels of skills, sometimes more advanced skills.
Yeah.
And we just got into a whole discussion of, you know, this is broken. Writing an advertisement to sell your position is broken. And you know what? You're seeing it. Look what's going on with talent in the last 3 years. I mean, in my industry, the senior talent is either being laid off or exiting because they choose not to have a life like that anymore. They want remote work. They want freedom and flexibility. They want to affect positive change, not the way we did before. Work has changed. Buyers have changed, right?
Right.
Recruiting has changed. Is it a good fit? Are you at the right place in your career for this juncture?
And now, a word from our sponsors, Simon Associates Management Consultants. That's us. And we're here to help you see, feel, and think in new ways. Whether you are an organization that's stuck or stalled, or an individual in that organization who's looking to rethink their own life's journey, Simon Associates has designed programs and processes to help you do just that. Our first book, On the Brink, A Fresh Lens to Take Your Business to New Heights, told the stories of 7 clients who were stuck or stalled, and a little anthropology helped them see things through a fresh lens, reignite their growth, and soar again. My new book that came out in January 2021 is called Rethink, Smashing the Myths of Women in Business. It's all about how 11 women, including myself, were able to see past the hurdles, the glass ceilings, and the brick walls, and become the best that they could be. They heard things like women aren't lawyers and women can't lead and women aren't in geosciences. And they said, of course we are. And they really pushed through and did it with such ease that they want other women to see what's possible. At the end of the book, I provide a bit of a how-to process for you. If you're on the brink of rethinking your own life's journey, it's time to pause, step back, and ask yourself, where am I going? What's my passion and my purpose? And am I there or can I get there? Send us your emails to info@andysimon.com and we'll get right back to you to see how we can help. On andysimon.com are some free chapters for both books. And you can also join our newsletter and our Facebook group, Rethink with Andy Simon. We are bringing together women to help other women do what they can't do by themselves, very often to see what's possible and become the best that they can be. Come join us. And now back to our podcast. I want to follow your thoughts as our listeners are thinking about their own, both their own journeys, as well as those of their business and the products they're selling. I'd like to create a metaphor here, because what you're saying is that the people who work inside And the people who are our clients and their clients are really in a system, an ecosystem called. And your staff can only do good jobs if the folks who you're working with align with the basic three values, purpose, values, and story approach you have. But their clients have to be in alignment as well. So this is a long alignment thought, a visual in my head. They often say that the words we use create the worlds that we live in. Humans are meaning makers. And so you're sharing with the audience the meaning that you give to both work and to the work you do in a very interesting and important way. It's not a job. You're part of this whole process that's aligning with the folks who we serve to align with their folks. The thing that I'd like you to reflect on a little bit is, how do your clients get to know better their clients, whether it's a customer, if it's a B2B, how do they serve them better? I've done enough focus groups in my life to never really want to do another one. But I'm an anthropologist and I love to observe and hang out. They said, What do you do? I said, I hang out. My job is to listen to the conversations without judging them, and also without asking the people who are conversing, what does this really mean, without listening to the stories they tell. Storytelling is actually the very best way to capture the reality that they're living. But how do you help your clients and your team better understand this changing world of buyers out there and the channels with which they find solutions to whatever that problem is? Is that too big a question again? Or is it that anything?
It actually isn't. I start with, you can't skip a step. Right. Everybody has the courage to take a step back and look at the journey. It starts with insights, because ultimately what matters to our clients is that we understand their clients.
Agreed.
Right. So I've got two sets of clients I'm serving. I can't serve one without the other. And in almost every case, when clients come to us, they think they understand their clients, and we go through a process to get to right. I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just saying we don't have the data to understand that is proof positive or reactive that points me in the right journey. When I think about, the age-old questions of, how do I hire an agency? Why do I need an agency? I start with, help me understand your business and where is it going, because your business objective dictates the marketing strategy and then resulting in the tactics we take. So when you think about what that is, I can't skip the brand component, because it starts with, who are you? What do you stand for? Yeah. Why do we exist? How is the world with a better place in it? And at the other end of that is, why should my customers care? Give me a reason to believe, or I go somewhere else.
Yep.
And there's a lot of space between my hands right now. And if I had a bigger screen, I would give you more space. But you have to really not skip a step. So you have to get clear here first, phase one, discovery, right? Understanding your position and all the things I just listed. We could talk about the three keys. That is what I call the minimum viable brand. I like MVP things, right? Products and brands. So I've taken that and said, how can we make this affordable? Because everybody listening going, oh, redoing a brand, it takes 6 months and tons of money and six figures. And like, no, it doesn't. It doesn't. We've created a process inside of about 10 to 12 weeks, maybe slightly longer, depending on scheduling, we can rectify this. We don't necessarily have to just create a gap analysis. We can actually create the analysis and fix things. Mm-hmm. So we actually have an actionable place to start. So in that discovery, of course, we're going to do all the things that you think about, right? The competitive analysis, aspirational, actual. What do my customers really want? What do I stand for? That gives me insights into what I'll call the brand foundation with your MVP. And the way I describe it is, like, your brand is built on two layers. First, the verbal. We get the verbal right. We can go to the visual. We can create translation so that the brain understands that there is a connection between them, mm-hmm. the visual and the verbal. And then we put a good layer in there called a brand idea. What's the big idea, or the zip code as we call it? What does that mean? That's how I begin to make a connection and start to put that in the world. And we go to unlock, second phase, usually 3, sometimes 4 months, could be 6. If we need more data, right? It's always about data. Take about a couple of weeks to get whatever the campaign is up and running in real time. I don't have to do massive big focus groups that take a long time anymore. I can just literally go in market and start to see how people react to message.
That's right.
And in fact, I can even add a step and do, you know, I could probably spend 3 weeks doing message testing. Literally message testing. If you're this type of demographic, how do you react to these things? And we can learn before we actually go in market.
Yeah.
Right. So 3 months is not a long time when you think of the longevity of your organization. Don't you want to get audience message fit right? Then you've got a strong brand that you know people are reacting to, that have the criteria of your clients or like your clients. So then when you go into market, you can begin to go, oh, can I attract you to my funnel? Can I attract you to my funnel? How do we nurture you? Where does sales come in?
Yeah.
But everybody gets on the phone and going, could you take over my LinkedIn? I need to get sales there. Could you help me explore TikTok? Because I could sell direct now. And that's not the answer. The answer is,
what's the
story? Help me understand your business.
Yeah.
A tactical solution has to be a result of a strategic decision mm-hmm. that will then add value to the business.
I always watch our time because a half hour or so is a good for our listeners, but I don't want to cut us off yet. I have a couple of things to add to your wonderful understanding of how to build a business in this modern world that we're in. We were HubSpot partners for a number of years, and we really do love inbound marketing. And inbound marketing makes the assumption that it is less about what you're pushing out and a lot about what people are searching for. Google has created a whole new marketplace, and it isn't putting it on a shelf in a store. It's what are the words you're using to find a solution to something, to a problem? We come up on the first page of Google, thank you very much, because of content marketing of corporate anthropologist, blue ocean strategy expert. I can't compete with the book, but I can be an expert. I can do, culture change New York. I can do, all kinds of words that get people to come and hire us, or at least find us and want to know more about us. That is a very neat way of understanding that, but it's going to go even faster and more and farther because the content is going to have to be relevant and change. And it isn't the channel of LinkedIn or Facebook or the website. I still like the website. I like the others, but I really love what search can do for you. But it means that we have to go backwards, outside in, instead of just inside out. Your thoughts, Fran?
You need data to do that.
Yes,
right. The proof is in the data, because design is always subjective. And what has happened today, my opinion, people can disagree.
Oh, I agree. But they can disagree.
Agencies are so fragmented and specialized that if you are searching for just a Google AdWords specialist, you should hire them. But what are you giving them to work? Is that proven in a data point? Otherwise, you are chasing an unproven theory.
Yep.
And
yes,
I caution the audience listeners out there who have several different agencies who are employed right now and probably doing great work. The question is, it is the best work. Is it the work that actually is strategically tied to adding value to the company? And it's very, I feel like I spend a lot of time talking about this because many don't realize how much is buried in a marketing budget that's actually allocated across a P&L that shouldn't necessarily be, and some things should be. So like right-sizing all of that and then trying to understand the return on investment. I think this is the bug for me, right? When you look at very large agencies and very large companies, They have spreadsheet after spreadsheet and depth and depth and depth. They understand their acquisition costs, their lead generation costs. They understand all of these things. And it's a behemoth of effort to put together to be able to actually get that. But I really believe that small to medium-sized companies deserve to do marketing right. And that's the agency model that I have brought to this market.
Yep.
Want those who understand and want to do strategic marketing right, I have an all-in-one solution. So there's no finger pointing. We didn't get the return. Why? Oh, the AdWord guy. Oh, the content person. Oh, this. Oh, that. It's not that. We have to put it all together under the umbrella. And under that, you know, again, you start with the business objective, the marketing strategic plan with the tactical execution. If that execution on that budget doesn't add value, you shouldn't do it. Myself included. You shouldn't do it. So it's just, I hope I answered the question. I got off on a tangent, but there's so much wrong with things today. And we think as business owners, myself included, we think we're experts at everything and we're not.
I know.
Marketing is it's so much more confusing.
It is. But let's pause because sure. I would rather us pause here, perhaps have you come back in a short time and take the conversation to the next stage, because I think that the times are fast changing. I was reading about Lenovo putting AI into their PCs to better know you so that they can manage your virtual assistant and know when your calendar is and tell you, "And good morning, it's time for you to get up. And these are the three things you're going to do today." Oh, my goodness. I do think, though, that the listeners, as well as us who are in industry, helping, you know, you're helping companies develop their business, build your staff so they have purpose. It is not inconsequential. It is very meaningful. And humans are meaning makers. We need the meaning. We decide with our eyes and our heart, not our head. The head sort of justifies it. When you understand the human being, then all of what Fran has been saying today takes on what do you do with it? You know, I get it. I understand the human. Now, what do I do to build a business that will thrive in fast-changing times? And I'll tell you, it's a good time to pause, step back, and think about that question. What is it you are doing? Is it more of the same, maybe cheaper? Are you beginning to really understand the data about your clients and your customers and where they're going? I find this all the time that my first book, On the Brink, about which this podcast was named, was about seven of our clients who had gotten stuck or stalled, and they didn't see what was right in front of them. And I must tell you, whether it's a focus group or it's an anthropologist, it's a mindset on the client side to say, oh, that's what you're seeing. Because if they don't see it, it has no meaning at all. I can't tell you how many times I bring back what I saw and they say, well, that's not true. I said, okay, come look with me. And then they go and they hang out and they listen and they say, oh, that's what you heard. I said, yes, but that's what they're saying. And so it's a time to rethink how you think about your business and how you're running it. And Fran is giving you some really good insights today about how she and her company, and that's a real important thing. I want you to tell a little bit more about the Advantages company so that we don't leave the audience thinking, oh, how do I find her? And what do I do if I need her? Tell me about your company.
Absolutely. I'd be happy to. Advantages.net is how you can find us. I'll throw that into the chat. And we are a purpose-driven agency that does marketing right so that you can focus on the things that you are meant to focus on. What does that mean? It means that we're an agency, a strategic-driven agency that has all the capability or a hybrid of capability to work with the vendors you have to ensure that we bring value to the budget that is spent so that it is meaningful to the business. Now, technically, we're strategists, we're designers, we're writers, we're directors, and everything in between, so that what you see on the inside matches to what you see on the outside.
But your purpose is how to assemble those tactical and practical things into a strategy to help our clients are the same words that we use. See, feel, and think in new ways so they can grow. And I think it's very exciting to share what you do and how you do it, because it is a way of lifting us up off the brink. You want to soar, then maybe you need to rethink the way you're telling your story, even what it is, and how you're beginning to push it out. So let's wrap us up. Fran's information will be, of course, on the podcast blog that we put on simonassociates.net. You can find it there, and we push it out when it comes out. But it's been an absolute pleasure to have an opportunity to share with you what Fran Biederman Gross does and what advantages her company can offer if you're thinking about how to rethink your own company and where it's going and how to get there. I'm going to wrap with a little push on my new book, Women Mean Business. It's a great book. It's got 500 plus wisdoms of 102 women, each of whom wants to elevate and celebrate women in business. And what's so exciting about it is that people turn a page and change their lives. And I know that sounds interesting, but we actually had a woman write about it on LinkedIn. Oh, I was starting 2024 and I was reading the book and it inspired me to rethink my year. And I had a client who's a wonderful client and she had yellow marked the whole book. And she said, wow, I'm going to change the way I'm running my business. How can a book do that? Simple and easy. It's a wonderful way to do it. You can find Women Mean Business on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or your local bookseller. And don't forget to look at the website, womenmeanbusinessbook.com, to tell you more about both the authors, the origin of the book, the 500 wisdoms, and the 102 wonderful people inside. So thank you, Fran, for being with us today. It's been a pleasure. Thank you, all of you who come and send us great ideas and bring us wonderful people to share and share the website and the podcast so we can all share our wisdom. We love to help others grow. Bye-bye now. Have a wonderful day. Remember my wisdom. Take your observations, turn them into innovations, and boy, what you can see. Bye-bye now.